Was he buried? His body laid in the tomb for 3 days, 3 nights? Is he risen? He's risen indeed. He is risen indeed. And is he alive now? Is he alive forevermore? And if you put your faith and trust in him, does he deliver you from death and give you life everlasting? So you can, in fact, tonight account yourself dead to sin and alive unto God because your faith is in Christ alone. And that's good news. It's good news. So that's what we're learning about, Romans chapter 6, verse 11. We're going to read it out loud together, if we can. And we'll throw it up on the screen just to make sure everybody's got it. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Ready? Begin. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray before you're seated. Father, I thank you for this time together with the saints. I pray that you'll bless all that we do here for your glory. Lord God, please help me to preach your word by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that what I say tonight will be used by you, that your Holy Spirit would take your word and put it in the hearts of your people, that your word would go forth to those who don't believe, bring conviction, draw them to repentance and faith, that even tonight, the lost would call on your name and be saved. And even tonight, the saved who have become apathetic, who have been complacent, living as though they're still dead in sin, would be convicted and brought back and revived, that we would all walk in newness of life. Please, Lord, help and bless in spite of me, and I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've been learning about the resurrection for weeks, and this is the result. Jesus did die, he was buried, and he did rise again on the third day, and he gives life everlasting to all who believe, but you don't just get saved and then just kind of forget about it. No, we're called to live for the one who died for us and rose again. We want to live alive. Live as though you've been made alive. We studied 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We looked a lot at verses 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And we talked about the fact that even though you're dead to sin and alive unto God, it doesn't mean that you're going to go through life unscathed. It doesn't mean that you're never going to have problems. And everybody in this room, we spent a lot of time a minute ago talking about prayer requests. And man, there's all kinds of things going on in people's lives. And we could spend all night talking about the physical problems that people are facing. But besides that, what about the mental and emotional turmoil that people are enduring? What about the spiritual trials that people are facing? And this world is full of trouble. We could be like Job and say, a man's life is a few days and full of trouble. That's true. So we understand there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trials. There's going to be afflictions, tribulations. There's going to be temptations that come at you. There's going to be problems within you. But in all of it, you are not cast down and you are not destroyed because you are still, in fact, alive unto God through Jesus Christ your Lord. And so no matter what life throws at you, you still have victory. Isn't that good to know? This is kind of a weird question. Have any of you been punched and knocked down?
Knocked out?
Knocked down. AG's like, hold on.
No, I've been knocked out.
Okay, all right. So it didn't matter either way? Okay, just point of clarification. So some of you have been punched and knocked down. I don't know if you've experienced that, but when you get punched and knocked down, sometimes you're like, I don't know if I want to get up again. Not sure whether it's worth getting up again, right? And sometimes there's a battle within you. I like to watch boxing. I like to watch MMA. Maybe you think that's bad, but I like that stuff. But I watch guys who get knocked down and they get up again. And the reason they get up again, it's because they believe they can win the fight. Right? Now listen, I know some of you are like, I've seen some of those matches and they should just stay down. They're not going to win. They should just stay down. Right? Their manager's throwing in the towel because they need to stay down. But guess what? Guess what? You may get knocked down, but you can get back up again because Jesus has already given you victory. Amen. The fight's already been won. So, yeah, we may get knocked down, but we get up again. So we keep fighting. We keep going back because we understand that we have been persecuted but never forsaken. We've been cast down but will never be destroyed in Jesus Christ. So no matter what happens in your life, if you get knocked down, you can get back up again. Okay? So that's the reality of the Christian life. The reality of living alive is that you're going to have trouble, but you don't have to give up. You're never in despair because Jesus is with you. And that led us to John 15, and we tried to fly through that. I was convicted and torn, prayed about it, whether to go back to John 15 or move on. But if you haven't studied John 15 on your own, you should do that. You should spend time reading it. You should soak it up because it's all about you as a believer abiding in Jesus, living in Jesus, continuing in Jesus, like he is the vine, and you don't have life apart from him. You guys remember you used your imaginations, and you take the branch and cut it off. It's not going to do anything but wither and die. But you're not cut off. You're in Jesus, right? And he is the source of this life that you're living today, so we look to him. So we want to talk about all of that, and we're going to walk through a lot more stuff because I want to talk to you about how to live as though you're alive. And tonight, where we're going to go to is in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. And remember, our kind of a key verse for this series is Romans 6:11. He says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves." You guys remember that? Nod your head if you remember the word reckon. I mean, that's got to be the most Oklahoma word in the whole Bible, right? I mean, there's probably somebody in New York that has no idea. They read reckon, they're like, I don't know what that means. But we know what that means, right? Okay, now maybe the Bible uses it a little different. It's an accounting term, and it really means to account something to. The idea of reckoning means to take an inventory. It means to come to a conclusion. Or it means to think on. So reckon yourself is tied to your mind. And so that's where we're going to move forward from abiding in Christ. That's the source of this life. But how it's lived out in our daily lives has to do with what happens in between your ears. Okay? What I'm saying is, listen to this. You live what you set your mind on. You live what you set your mind on. And we'll look at that. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." A man is what he thinks in his heart. The life you live flows from what you believe or know to be true. So Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says this, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And I don't know when the last time you studied Romans was, but we did it together as a church a long time ago. But Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, he moves through this process of talking about being dead to sin and alive unto God, walking in newness of life. Chapter 7's that part, you guys remember, it's really hard to read. He's like, the good that I would do, I do not, and the evil that I would not, I do. You remember that? And it's when you read it, it's really a tongue twister. But what he's saying is, I want to live alive to God. But then he gets to chapter 7, and he's like, and I'm struggling. Like, I want to do what God wants me to do, but there's a war in my members. And I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to do what's right, but I keep messing up. And so then he comes to chapter 8, and he talks to us about the Spirit, and he talks to us about our minds. And he says, I want you to understand, you can't do this on your own. You're not going to be able to defeat the flesh on your own. And you're always going to have to deal with the flesh as long as you're alive. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, right? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And the picture's pretty grotesque, really. When he is talking about that in chapter 7, he's talking about this dead. It's almost like strapping a dead body, a corpse, to you. And he's like, I'm dragging death around with me. But I've been made alive. My spirit is alive. And that's the picture that he gives. And he's like, who's gonna cut this death away from me? Jesus did. He is. And he will. Does that make sense to you? He defeated death. He is defeating death. And he will defeat death. He has saved you. He is saving you. And he will save you. It's salvation, sanctification, and glorification. However you want to label it, the reality is that we still have to fight the flesh today. We still have a struggle, and all of us are in that struggle. But it has to do, winning that battle has to do with how we think. The mind sets the direction of our life. He says in verse 5 here, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life. So what he's saying is, what you're after, what you're pursuing, he ties that together. The thing that you're after is the thing you're pursuing. He says that's where your mind is, what you're thinking about. And if you're thinking carnal things, if you're thinking fleshly things, then that's the direction your life's going to go. But if you'll think spiritual things and you're following after, chasing after, longing after spiritual things, then that's the way your life is going to go. And can I just get a witness? Has anybody experienced that? Like if I think, man, I've messed up. I've sinned against God. I've repented, and I don't want to do that again. So I'm gonna think about that. I'm going to dwell on that. I'm going to think on that. No, that's not what's going to help you. Because if you think about it, that's where you're going to end up. Is it true? Come on, guys, help me out. It could be something big. Big sin. It could be something that most of us would think is small sin. Like, I mean, I don't want to pick on anybody in particular, but I know some of you are diabetic or pre-diabetic, and you're supposed to stay away from the dessert table. I'm trying not to look at anybody in particular, because I don't want Brother Randy to catch elbows from Sister Kathy. We all know. But then we have a potluck, and who do you see over at the dessert table? Right? It is okay. Cheat day every day. No, it's not okay to have a cheat day every day. Then it's not a cheat day. Listen, I'm just saying, if you don't think about it, like you could go all week without thinking about it, but then we're having potluck and the first thing you think of is, ooh, dessert table. And I don't, maybe this doesn't happen to anybody else, but I think about the desserts. Amen. Brother Roger's like, that's all I'm thinking about the whole time you're preaching. It's like, what dessert am I going to get? And some of you are skilled at this, like you know, like it's potluck, the first thing you do is go get your desserts. Amen. Make sure you get those, go put them at your spot, and then come back and get the real food, right? That's a pretty lame example because I don't think it's sinful to have pie. Trying to help y'all out, like I don't, you're like, I thought you preached the truth, Brother Isaac. I don't think that it's sinful for us to enjoy a dessert from time to time. I don't. I really don't. But I do think that the same process works with things that are sinful. Something that you know you shouldn't see, something you know you shouldn't do, some place you shouldn't go, something you shouldn't do. If you think about it, you're going to end up there. It's the way it works. So you have to understand that what you're after in your mind is the direction of your life. We sang with the kids at Forge last night, As the Deer Pants for the Water. You guys know that song? Anybody know that song? And that song, I love that song, As the Deer Pants for the Water, So My Heart Longs After Thee. I love that song. It's straight out of the Psalms. But that's always convicted me. Because David wrote it in Scripture, I know that it's true. His heart was after God. I want a heart. I want my heart to be after God. I want my mind to be fixed on God. I want to be spiritually minded. And that's what he calls us to be. You guys remember Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, the battle for the Christian life is a battle for the mind. The battle for the Christian life is the battle for the mind. And so he says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So life and peace aren't just out there in the ether. They are a result of how you think. You get that? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you want life, if you want to live the Christian life, you want to live alive, live as though you've been made alive, then you've got to think spiritually. And if you want peace in your heart and your mind and your life and your family and in the church, then you have to think spiritually. Now, who doesn't want life and peace? We all want it, don't we? And God's word just gives it to us. So what fills our mind is going to define us. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And we remember what Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, I know that that confuses us because we think in our American terms of anatomy, your mind is here and your heart is here. But in the Greek, it doesn't work that way. Heart and mind go together. It's your innermost being. It all works together. And you get that, right? Your heart and your mind. A.W. Tozer said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So what occupies our mind shapes our life. It shapes our worship. It shapes the direction of our life. So what do? Our mind has to be renewed. Our mind has to be ruled. And I love this. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones also said this, you must learn to preach to yourself instead of listening to yourself. Let that sink in. You must learn to preach to yourself instead of listening to yourself. Now, just real quick, how many of you guys talk to yourselves? At least in your head, maybe not out loud. When you do, is it like two different people? Sometimes. Or sometimes a third one pops up. Like, we really got a lot going on here. We do. We talk to ourselves all the time. But listen, I got to get outside of myself. I can't just think about my thoughts. I can't just live on my thoughts. I need to preach to myself. What does that mean? It means I need to take the word of God and I need to bring it into my mind. I'm thinking these fleshly thoughts and I need the word of God to correct that and get me going the right direction. So what do? I remember the word of God. I bring it into my thoughts and it directs me away from my flesh and in the Spirit. Have you ever done that? You ever preached to yourself?
Yeah. You,
just whoever's not there. You guys ever face a temptation and you remember a scripture and bring it into that situation? You ever done that? Steve, I want to tell the story you told the other night. Is that all right? Okay. Brother, most of you know Brother Steve spent some time in the horse business. And there's a lot of wrong stuff that goes on at the horse track if you didn't know that. But the Lord brought him out of that. And he had been out of it for a while. And then he did a job for a guy who offered to sell him a horse real cheap. And it was a really good deal and could have been a good opportunity to get back in that business. But he felt convicted about it, didn't think he should, but he was really tempted, so he was trying to get away real fast. But he said the Lord brought that verse to him as he was going to his truck, remember Lot's wife. So he never turned around, he kept going. And God's going to do that for you guys. He always makes a way to escape, and often it comes with scripture. Isn't that how the Lord dealt with temptation?
Yeah.
Brother Kaysen came and taught our kids about putting on the whole armor of God, and he talked about that, how the sword is the word of God and how God's word is our offensive weapon. And when Jesus was tempted by the devil, what did he use? He used the word of God to fight back. And that's what we need to use too. So our mind has to be renewed and it has to be ruled by the word of God. I'm going to try to very quickly give you some steps, okay? In this idea of living alive in our minds, the mind of living alive. Number one is from our text, reckon or think on what is true. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're saved, are you dead to sin? If you're saved, are you dead to sin? Is that true? Then you need to reckon it true. Account it to be true. Put it on your account. I am dead to sin. I am alive unto God. Sin has no more dominion over me, and I need to remember that truth. I need to think on that reality. When I face temptation, I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to. Number two, Set your mind on Christ. Set your mind on Christ. We looked at this a second ago, Colossians 3. Let me give you 1 and 2. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your mind on Jesus Christ. I can tell you this, when your mind is towards the flesh, and when you are minding things of the flesh, and when you are thinking carnally, you're not thinking about Jesus. I don't want to think about Jesus when I'm thinking about sinning. Is that fair? Okay, so set your mind on Jesus Christ, and you'll walk in the Spirit. Number 3, renew your mind with truth. Renew your mind with truth. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What do we know? Excuse me. Where or how do we know what's good? The Word of God. Thank you. How do we know what the will of God is? It's in the Word of God. So how am I going to renew my mind? With the Word of God. Jesus said, pray to the Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You need to renew your mind with the Word of God every day. Now, I'm going to tell you this. When I read my Bible, I don't always understand what I read. Sometimes I read it, and I can read a whole chapter and go, I have no idea what I read. I can read one verse 5 times and still not know what I read. But I know this, God still does good work in my heart and mind when I read. And I believe it, and I have learned this by experience, faith comes before understanding. So I read it, and I believe it, and even if I don't understand everything that I read, he always does a work in my heart and mind through it, and we need renewed day by day, day by day. Guys, read your Bible every day. Some of you have told me that you have trouble reading. If you can't read it, you can listen to it. There are Bible apps that you can get that it will read it to you. And I love it. It's great. If you're weed eating or mowing or driving down the road or reading a book or whatever, you can listen reading a book. You can listen to the Word of God while you're doing a lot of stuff. What else? YouTube. You can find the Bible that you can listen to on YouTube. And if you don't know what YouTube is, ask one of your grandkids. I'm just saying you can read it. You can listen to it. There are so many ways for us to get the Word of God in our mind every day. So be renewed day by day in the Word of God. That's number 3. Renew your mind with truth. Number 4, reject wrong thoughts. Reject wrong thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. A lot of you guys knew these verses a long time. I feel like I went through a lot of my Christian life before I discovered these, before I understood anything about them. But these verses have been transformative to me, and I hope they are to you. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This is the Apostle Paul, him and the missionaries, talking to the church at Corinth, and he's saying, listen, we're not here fighting with swords, real swords. We have spiritual weapons, right? And they're tearing down strongholds. These are destroying the power of Satan. And then he goes on and says this, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He's like, our weapons aren't swords and bows and spears, but our weapons are strong because every imagination that puts itself up against God, every false idol, every false teacher, every false god, it is being torn down by the power of God. He's tearing it down. And what happens is, notice how all of this warfare is wrapped up in our thoughts. It's things that are against the knowledge of God, and it's bringing into captivity every thought to obedience of Christ. I'm going to tell you this. Your mind can think the most awful things. The most awful things. And listen, we are desperately wicked people. I don't know if you've ever done that. I mean, it's just between you and God. Like, it's your thought. Nobody else knows it. Thank God nobody else knows it. But I've had thoughts come to my head, and I think, how could I ever even think something like that? But you know what? I don't have to let that stay there. I can bring that down. I can cast that down. And I can bring my thoughts to the obedience of Christ. So reject wrong thoughts. They're going to come all the time. It doesn't matter. Sitting here, I'm amazed by this. Have you ever had a bad thought while you were sitting in preaching? Listening to preaching? Isn't that crazy? Like, it doesn't matter. You could be sitting in your sweet grandma's living room sipping sweet tea and have a bad thought. That's crazy. They can come anywhere at any time. So bring them into captivity to Christ. Reject them. Yeah, sure. Amen. That's right. That's the way it was. Yeah. In the beginning, before God flooded the earth, every thought of man's heart was only evil continually. And we don't have to live that way. We've been given victory. Amen. Are you alive? Amen. Are you dead to sin? Amen. You don't have to give in to those thoughts. You can put them away. So reject those wrong thoughts. Number five, focus on what is right. Philippians 4:8. Number five, focus on what is right. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, if you live in the United States of America in 2026, we have access to all kinds of things to think about. It's unlimited supply of things that you can put into your brain. And if you're honest tonight, most of us aren't putting good things into our thoughts. There's all kinds of evil out there, and we think about that. There's all kinds of bad stuff when we think about that. If you watch the news, you're probably filling your mind with negative things. Okay? And this is not a new age think positive thoughts lesson. This is put the wickedness and darkness out of your mind and put light into your life. And it comes from the Word of God. If you want to put things that are true, you're going to find it only in the Word of God. His Word is true. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Jesus told his disciples, we saw it last week, now are you clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. And if it's clean and it's true and it's pure, then it's got to be from the Word of God. So focus on the things that are good. Bad thought comes, put it out. Replace it with what is right, thinking on good things. Number six. Respond to emotions with truth. Respond to emotions with truth. Psalm 56:3 is a verse we've talked about in my family a lot. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Have your kids ever been scared? Okay, have you ever been scared? Yeah. When we face fears, we need to trust in God. He's the answer. Now, I say this a lot, that feelings are liars. My poor daughter has heard that so much in her life. Girls like to talk about their feelings. And I've responded most of her life with feelings are liars. But I want to clarify what I mean by that. Feelings in and of themselves are not bad. God made us with emotion. And God has emotion. Right? Has God ever been angry? God ever been happy? God ever been sad? I mean, the Bible describes him as having these emotions that he's given to us. So the emotions themselves are not bad. So when I say feelings are liars, what I mean is that we shouldn't let feelings govern our lives. That you can't make decisions based on feelings. I remember, some of you guys remember Mike Raines. Love Brother Mike, and he was just a great preacher. But I remember him teaching this. It's funny how I've heard thousands of sermons and lessons in my life, but the ones that stick out. I'll never forget, we were sitting at Bog Springs, one of the little places where we had our classes, and Brother Mike was teaching us, and he was talking about emotions. And he taught us that our emotions are supposed to be thermometers, not thermostats. What does that mean? The thermostat over there controls the temperature in the room. You can punch the buttons up or down. Listen, I can make some of you really happy or really mad just by pushing a couple of buttons. Right? The thermostat controls the temperature, but a thermometer just tells you what it is. And our emotions aren't supposed to be a thermostat to control our lives, but they are a good thermostat to let us know what's going on. Sometimes they're a good alarm. They're a good alarm to let us know that something is going on. They're indicators in our life, not authorities. So we can't be ruled by what we feel, but we must be ruled by what God has said. I don't know who said this, but I thought it was good. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God, not else is worth believing. I'm going to tell you this. I've been afraid sometimes, and I really have never a reason to be afraid of anything but God. Do I? I mean, ultimately, I hope you guys understand what I'm trying to say. I could just imagine some kid like seeing a copperhead this summer and being like, Isaac said I shouldn't be afraid, and they go grab the snake. That's not what I'm saying. I want to respond to my emotions with truth, because sometimes I feel like giving up. Sometimes I feel despair. Sometimes I feel like I should quit. And I can't be governed by those emotions. Sometimes I feel like I've been defeated, like I've been knocked down, I need to stay down. And I can't be governed by that. I have to get up again because I have to believe what God said. Number seven, keep your mind disciplined. Keep your mind disciplined. I love this. 1 Peter 1:13. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober or serious-minded, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did Jesus die for your sins according to the scriptures? Was he buried? Did he rise again the third day? Is that all true? Is he coming again? So gird up the loins of your mind, be serious-minded, and hope to the end, because Jesus is coming again. It's good news. This idea of girding up the loins is a military term. Those guys would kind of wear those long robes. You've seen the pictures, but when it was time to go to battle, they would gather that up, and they would tie their belt tight around it so that they were ready to go to battle. They was like gathering themselves. This idea of girding up the loins of your minds, being get yourself ready for battle. And friends, you and I are in a battle. And we have an enemy who wants to destroy us. And where he's coming at you is all over the place, but it really starts right here. Really starts right here. I believe that it's true. You live what you set your mind on. So if the devil can get you to set your mind on carnal things, he's got you going that direction. But if you'll resist him and think on godly things, then you can set your mind on the right things. You can gird up the loins of your mind, guard your mind, and start moving in the right direction unto life and peace. God gives us peace that passes understanding. You got to believe his word, and you got to live like you believe his word. Let's stand together. Merciful Father,